101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
The views and opinions of the host.
Come take my hand.
Walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad that you can be with us today. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. So the doctors are in the house again. Doctors Hospital is here again today to talk to us about urinary urge incontinence. This is this feeling that your bladder is, you're not in control of it. And well, you'll learn a whole lot more in a moment, and we'll learn how that can be fixed. And I am delighted to have back with us today, Dr. DeRozier. Welcome, Doc.
Sure.
Dr. DeRozier, are you in?
I'm here.
Okay. Dr. DeRozier, help me with your first name.
Laura. So it's Lochfiel, but Lochfiel. Everyone calls me Laura.
Okay.
So I like to say that when I hear someone call me Lochfiel, I like stop in my tracks because only my mom calls me that, and she only calls me that when she's mad at me.
Does that have a meaning? What language is that?
It's Creole. It's Haitian Creole, yes. Wow, my father's name is Philippe. My mother's name is Marie-Laure. And so they decided they were going to be fancy. And so they put the name together. So I always say I lucked out. I mean, it's, you know, they happened to combine it just right, because if not, I would have been Marie-Philippe. And so.
Well, it works. Beautiful name. And thank you for joining us again today. So
it's a pleasure.
Yesterday we dealt with interstitial cystitis.
Yeah, we did. We talked about painful bladder syndromes.
Yeah, I'm there now.
You are a good learner. I love that about you.
And now we want to talk about urinary urge incontinence.
Correct.
Okay, so help us understand what that is.
Yeah, so urinary urge incontinence is just like you described. You know, it's the inability to hold your urine. You feel the urge. It can't be deferred. And it requires you to either have to make a dash to the restroom, you know, all the while trying to like squeeze and, you know, pray and fingers and toes crossed, et cetera. And try to avoid leakage. And sometimes you end up having a little bit of leakage. Oftentimes women will wear a pad. Incidentally, you know, although the spectrums of overactive bladder, being overactive bladder dry or overactive bladder wet, which is essentially the same thing as urge incontinence, is more prevalent in women, but this can be seen in males as well, particularly with males that have had interventions, for example, prostatectomies, et cetera, or have had radiation. So at any rate, when you can't make it to the restroom in time and you've got that gotta go symptom, and you've seen the commercials where there's the little bladder that's, you know, tugging on the woman. So there are certain ways to help with that. So we want to discuss that. It happens way more than we're willing to admit. And we want to start the conversation today.
You know, I do not have and have not had an issue where I felt like my bladder was out of control. But if you've been in a situation where you needed to urinate and couldn't because you were somewhere that where that just was impossible, that is not something you want to have to deal with at all. But when that's something that's frequent, where you feel that way, that's really, really disruptive to your quality of life, hey?
Certainly. It's disruptive to your production. You know, it's disruptive to what you can plan. Because mm-hmm. patients oftentimes will say, you know, I really have difficult time planning ahead because I feel like at any point accidents can happen. You'll see that there's sometimes social isolation associated with this. People just don't want to go out because they're afraid that they're going to have accidents that can be quite embarrassing. So there are all of these factors that play a role.
And I can imagine that something like that can even affect your esteem. You know, you want to date, you know, you want to interact with people and you got to deal with this issue.
Right.
So it can be disruptive even that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think bladder, you know, vagina, you know, whenever we talk about these things, you know, it's almost mm-hmm. like they're four letter words, right? Because nobody wants to.
Let's can we move on to something else?
Nobody wants to talk about them. But the reality is these are functions that that we have to do on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day. So it's important that we sort of discuss and start the conversation so that people can know that they're not alone and remove that isolation. And then also just give, you know, options. I think more than anything, what I'm hoping that we do is to, you know, let people, not only let people know that there are options, but decrease the risk of people waiting until, you know, things have gotten so bad where it's really hard for, you know, our interventions to be effective. You know, it's very clear that the earlier that we start with this, you know, then the better our outcomes are and the more effective the interventions are. So starting the conversation, I think, is a place where we should be at.
What reasons people may come into this incontinence with their urinating?
Yeah, so lots of reasons why, you know, this can happen. So for urge incontinence, of course, as we age, the receptors of the bladder are not as don't function as well, right? So we have these little receptors, which I call them the doorman, right, of the bladder. And these are what allow messages to come in and out of the bladder. And these messages, they go on these highways, which the highways are essentially the nerves that span between your pelvis and the posterior aspect of your brain that say, mm-hmm. that give, are constantly sending messages back and forth, regulating how much is in the bladder, how much stretch there is on the muscles of the bladder, and when it's appropriate. So typically there's, you know, negative inhibition that's there. That's, you know, this allows the bladder to fill appropriately, allows the bladder to fill and not increase significantly the pressure that's within the bladder. It allows for the doorway, the stop gate, which is the sphincter of the bladder, to hold everything in that's in the bladder. Without having a leakage. So when these receptors, these doormen, get tired as we age, et cetera, they just are not as effective. And so sometimes you can start to see increased noise, right? That's, you know, increased impulse that's going to the bladder. So a good way to think of that is, you know, if there's more, if there's a signal increase that's saying, hey, it's time to go. And the doorman is really not, you know, the doorman's a little tired and not able to say, no, it's not time to go. And, you know, holding the fort, well, then you may have a little bit of an accident because that doorman is not doing its job very well. So There are ways to help with that by decreasing the salts that we put in our body. So we talked about yesterday a little bit about dietary, the effects of diet and inflammation for interstitial cystitis. Well, similarly, a lot of these known bladder irritants can also cause worsening urgency and frequency. So, you know, we'll talk about your coffees, your teas, anything that's got high acidity in it, anything that's spicy, things that have, in general, things that are red tend to be, will have a high acid level. So tomatoes or tomato paste. So these will cause worsening urgency and frequency. And so it makes it a little harder for that doorman to do its job really well in keeping the things that need to be in the bladder in without getting out. So if you can think about it, the way continence is measured, or is maintained rather, is the bladder is able to relax and fill in normally. And then, you know, there may be impulses that are going back and forth between the brain. And, you know, there may be an impulse when you start to, you know, fill up a little bit and your bladder will say, okay, well, I think it's time to go. It'll send a message to the brain, to the pontine micturition center. And then that pontine micturition center is going to send that message to the frontal cortex, which is the front of the brain. And then it's going to process all the information. And, you know, the frontal cortex will take the fact that you are in a car. It'll take the fact that, you know, we're on a highway, or take the fact that it's going to be about 10, 15 minutes before we can get to anywhere. And it processes that information almost instantaneously and then sends back a message saying, no, it's not time yet. Quiet down. And so you'll see sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, I had that urge to go to the restroom, but now it's gone, right? Because your brain has done the job of saying, nope, it's not time. Quiet down. I'll let you know when it's time. And so you can go another 15, 20, maybe even an hour, and before you'll get another signal saying, hey, yeah, I remember I needed to go. And that is the normal way of micturation. This is the normal way that the bladder functions. And when you get to, say, home, you put your key in the door and you've put your stuff down, and you'll say, oh, yeah, I remember I needed to go to the restroom. You'll walk easily to the restroom and then go appropriately. That same, you know, bladder is still sending messages, hey, I need to go. Now the message from the pontine micturition center is going to be, okay, now we're in an appropriate setting. Go ahead and go, right? So then you'll be able to empty appropriately. So, I mean, of course, this is an oversimplified way, but I think this is a good way of sort of showing, walking you through the process of what normal voiding is. If at any point there's a disruption in the messaging that's going on, it will increase the messaging to urinate, and so that urgency, which is represented to us by urgency, or even frequency, meaning that we go and then we have to go back again. Or it can be manifested in physical ways of not completely emptying our bladder. So.
And you know, when you have this issue, okay, let me back up. So, you know, every day you need to have 8 ounces of, you know, I have 8 glasses of, 8 cups of water.
Right,
a day,
about 64 ounces.
And, exactly, yeah. And so you're trying to do that, and then you have this issue? How does that work?
So, you know, this is going to sound like an old cliche, but we tell patients, you drink the water and we will fix the incontinence, right? Because there is this thought that, okay, if I'm going to the restroom all the time, then I'm going to not drink as much water. I'm going to drink as little water as possible. And guess what? We said that, you know, there are things that make your urine acidic and make your urine very concentrated, and that will also increase the urgency and the frequency. Guess what happens when you are dehydrated? The urine becomes super dark, super concentrated, and actually that worsens urgency and frequency. So it is, you know, I don't know how many times I tell patients, I promise you, if you start drinking more, things will get better. So one of the ways that we do that is when people come in, obviously we're going to do these quality of life questionnaires, which help us to kind of hone in on what's most bothersome, because there are several aspects that can be bothersome with urge incontinence. So we'll do those. And then the secondary really important thing is to do voiding diaries for our patients. And that helps us to figure out, okay, what is it that you're putting in your body? how much of it are you putting in? When are you putting it in? And what's coming out? And how often is it coming out? And are there any accidents? We can also document, are you using any pads? What kind of pads are you using? Are you using, you know, a little panty line or a panty shield or a panty liner? Or are you using a Depend, you know, a pull-up? That gives us a really good sense of what's going on. So okay. Drinking water is actually really good for you.
Helpful, mm-hmm. helpful. Despite the fact that you're getting rid of it.
It's counterintuitive, but yes.
Yeah. I see that perfectly. See it perfectly. Dr. DeRozio, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about what people should be looking for. I mean, as they think, you know, maybe I need to be seeing Dr. DeRozio or somebody about this, and when they should be starting to think, you know what, this is getting out when we come back from the break. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, pay our respects to our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll continue speaking with Dr. DeRozio from Doctors Hospital about urinary urge incontinence. We'll be back after this break.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal finance. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Mr. Campbell, we have your test results. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Good news. No, wait, bad news.
Came back. You've got erythrocytes all over.
Oh no, this can't be happening.
Here's the good news. That just means red blood cells. It's a good thing. You're completely fine.
With 99% of medical claims paid in 5 days, we're like a doctor who doesn't want to be a comedian. CG Atlantic, medical in life. Good like that.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a step. Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we discuss with Dr. DeRozio from Doctors Hospital. We're discussing this urinary urge incontinence as she and Doctors Hospital, this this week discussing matters around pelvic floor. What's the rest of it, Doc? Dr. DeRosio? Did we lose her? Producer, is Dr. DeRosio with us?
I don't know if you can hear me. It looks like he can hear me.
Yeah, I couldn't before, but, but this all evolves around pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor dysfunction. Yeah.
Dysfunction, that's right.
Yeah. So we're looking to, you know, this week, and really, you know, we really want to promote just a conversation around pelvic floor, the dysfunctions that are associated with it. They span really from anything to urinary urgency, overactive bladder, prolapse, and of course, defecatory dysfunction, including, you know, anything from constipation to rectal prolapse. So, we want to start the conversation because I think there's a lack of that conversation happening with patients, and we're hoping to start that.
So if somebody's sitting out there, standing out there, thinking, okay, you know, I'm listening to Dr. DeRosio. I think something's going on with me. I'm really not so sure whether I'm on the normal side of life or tipping over. What are we looking for with respect to this urinary urge incontinence? What should we be looking for, men, women?
Right. So you may not have incontinence per se, leaking, but you may have urinary urgency and frequency, which is still within the spectrum of overactive bladder. And so, you know, it's good to know what normal is, right? So it's normal to go to the restroom every, you know, 3 to 4 hours. Going to the restroom more than 8 times a day typically is sort of leading us to the direction that there's something that's going on. There's a little bit of overactivity of the bladder. If we're getting to between, you know, 8 to 15 times a day, then that becomes an issue. And certainly if we're going more than 15, then we're certainly, this is abnormal. So urinary urgency and frequency, the perception that things are changing. So I used to be able to sleep throughout the night, and now I'm waking up 2 and 3 times at night. That is not normal. And then, of course, any time that there is incontinence, leakage, that is involuntary, then that is abnormal, and we should discuss ways to improve. And those ways don't necessarily mean surgery. We've talked about some of the ways that we can improve the symptoms with just behavioral or dietary modifications. There are some additional ways that we can discuss.
Would included in this be sometimes what people describe as like not complete emptying? Like, for instance, if you're a guy, you urinate, you think you're done, and then you pack up and then you're leaking.
It's a little different. I mean, for men, it depends on whether or not you've been circumcised, right? So whether or not there's a little bit of a foreskin there. Sometimes if there is, making sure that the retraction is appropriate, making sure that you wait and you give that, you know, the little bit that's coming out, giving yourself, adequate time to empty that little bit. Also, whether or not we're at the age where maybe prostate may be an issue. Certainly, males should be checking. There should be a digital rectal exam that's done, particularly in our communities where prostate cancer is really high and prostatic hypertrophy is high as well. There are a number of reasons why that can be happening. A sensation of not completely emptying does not necessarily mean that you're not emptying, but it certainly points to something happening. And it warrants an evaluation. You know, so if we're thinking we're not completely emptying, we can do simple tests called a post-void residual. It can be done in the office. Very simple. You literally go and urinate, and then you come back, and we can use an ultrasound or we can use a very small catheter to see what empty is for you. Typically with males, we're using a little ultrasound that we put right on the bladder, and we're checking to see what is left over after you urinate. There are, ranges of what's normal, and then certainly we know what's abnormal. So not complete emptying is, although you can, there are some associations with overactive bladder, but it really is something that's separate and I think warrants a different discussion. If, be that as it may, if you feel like you're, you know, a persistent sensation of not completely emptying, it needs to be evaluated. And I would start with the primary care physician. I, you know, have a conversation with the people that you're all, that you already trust and who are taking care of you, because they can do due diligence to start the workup. And then if there is the need for additional evaluation, then they will send you, you know, either to a urologist or a or an OBGYN.
Okay, so given, you know, my mother will tell you, she tell people all the time, say, y'all see that boy there? If something go wrong with him, he don't have no problems going to the doctor. He ain't wasting no time, right? Because I tend to lean on the conservative side of life. If something doesn't seem right with me, I go to the people who can help me understand and figure out what's going on. So is it more useful for people to think, okay, well, I don't know what's going on. Let me go in anyways and check. Like you say, I can start with my primary physician and then we can take it from there. But would you suggest people who may be thinking, I'm not too sure that that's the way to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think starting the conversation and just say, hey, doc, you know, this has been happening. I used to be able to sleep throughout the night without any problems. Now I'm waking up 2 and 3 times a night. You know, what do you think? And it may be, you know, they'll be able to go through and look at, are there any new stressors or is there anything that's new? They'll take the opportunity to look at your urine. You know, just starting that conversation is really important. All too often what I find and what I'm really hoping that we can at least at least open up the conversation about is people wait until things have gotten so bad, until, you know, they go from urgent, you know, urinary urgency frequency, now, you know, incontinence where they're wearing a pad, naps, and now they're completely incontinent, wearing pull-ups and have recurrent UTIs. Well, if we had addressed it from the beginning, you know, there are so many steps, so many interventions that we could have done, and we could have made so that we wouldn't end up, you know, at the sort of the tail end of this intervention. I really want to stress on the earlier the better. And, you know, right. What's the worst that can happen? No, you know, there's
good.
All your labs look good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you walk out of the office thinking, you know, I'm so delighted. I feel so much more at ease because there's nothing worse than not being sure, right? I'm one of those people I'd rather know, even if it's bad news, than to not be sure.
Right. I agree. Right. Totally agree.
And I know you touched a bit on it, but when we come, I have to take a break, but when we come back, can you then now talk to us about what treatment looks like? I have a question, actually, just before we go to the break.
Yeah.
Do children plague with something like this?
Yeah, so children can certainly have overactive bladder. We find that nocturnal enuresis tends, particularly when children are, you know, growing up, early.
That's bad peeing, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Uh huh. Okay. Right. And the other thing that can also really cause issues is constipation, right? So children who become constipated have difficulty emptying their bladder. And that can be something that, you know, so we evaluate. So pediatricians are well equipped for evaluating that, certainly for nocturnal enuresis. Typically, we recommend pediatric urologists for that. But yes, children also can have these issues. So it's a good idea to sort of watch what's happening. Oftentimes, you know, we tell, you know how we potty train children. We go and we say, okay, sit down. Okay, go. You know, but there are ways we can actually teach them how to position their feet, how to actually open their legs appropriate distance that sort of engages the pelvic floor muscles, how to completely relax their pelvic floor. So there are ways that we can, you know, actually help our children when we're potty training them. If they do have these problems, certainly working with a pelvic floor therapist can be helpful, addressing any issues with constipation. But yeah, pediatricians are well equipped. And of course, a pediatric urologist also very helpful.
One of the things that I have noticed around the issue of constipation is how poorly defined it is for many average souls. So we sometimes confuse straining or hard stool with, like, what is constipation?
Yeah, great question. So you know, we tend to say that you should have a bowel. There's this misnomer rather that you need to have a bowel. You need to have a bowel movement every day. You really don't have to have a bowel movement every day. But if you go through more than 3 days and you haven't had a bowel movement, and we use something called a Bristol stool scale to help us figure out what's going on. And if the stool is coming out in pellets, if it comes out and you really need to push in order to have it come out, if it's coming out where you're needing to strain, those are all helpful guidelines that this is constipation that's happening. Having said that, you know, the way that sometimes there are defecatory dysfunction, meaning that the same pelvic floor that we talked about, those muscles, and there are muscles of your pelvis that span from the front of your body to the back of your body. And through those muscles, the urethra go through those, the vagina go through those, the rectum goes through those. Those muscles sort of encircle, encase all of these organs. And when those muscles are too tight or do not appropriately relax, they can cause issues of constipation as well. So when we're looking at what's going on with the presentation, we really have to not only look at the symptom presentation, but also what are the organs doing? And then lastly, what are the muscles doing as well?
Right. So there's a combination of how frequently you've been, because if you're over 3 days, and then when you do, if there's pellets and that kind of stuff, you're looking at something that could be pointing to constipation.
Right. So we're looking at what exactly, how is it presenting? So in general, if it's been more than 3 days and you haven't had a bowel movement, when it comes out, it's going to come out a little hard. Also, if it's coming out in small pellets, if it's coming out and you feel like you have to push, those are all helpful descriptors of sort of describing constipation. But you were right, because there's a variety of symptoms that that can make it difficult to see exactly what's going on.
So when we're going to take this break, and then when we come back, treatment, what can people look forward to if they are diagnosed with urinary urge incontinence? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're speaking with Dr. DeRosia from Doctors Hospital. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady run into me.
Is she out of insurance?
She hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang! She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Mr. Campbell, we have your test results. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Good news. No, wait, bad news. Give it to me straight, doctor.
Your blood work came back. You've got erythrocytes all over.
Oh no, this can't be happening.
Here's the good news. That just means red blood cells. It's a good thing. You're completely fine.
With 99% of medical claims paid in 5 days, we're like a doctor who doesn't want to be a comedian. CG Atlantic, medical in life. Good like that.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're speaking in this first hour with Dr. DeRozier of Doctors Hospital about urinary urge incontinence, all a part of this pelvic floor dysfunction that they're drawing attention to at Doctors Hospital, beginning conversations around. And Doc, we were talking about urinary urge incontinence, and somebody is diagnosed with it. What are they looking at in terms of treatment?
So once we've diagnosed them, we're going to want to make sure that we start with, as we discussed before, behavior modifications. We'll do any dietary interventions, and then we should really discuss the role of pelvic floor therapy for those patients. If there's underlying vaginal atrophy, that's just right. So we know that it's the distal urethra and distal vagina has receptors that are very sensitive to estrogen. So when we're postmenopausal, perimenopausal, those receptors can start to have low levels of estrogen, and that can play a role, particularly in urgency frequency. So we would address that by treating them with usually vaginal estrogen creams. We would want to make sure that we're treating any underlying issue of recurrent urinary tract infections. If the patient is having urinary tract infections frequently, and we have a definition of recurrence, if you've had two urinary tract infections within 6 months or three within a year, that's considered recurrent urinary tract infections. And there are many ways that we can address that, but that needs to be addressed. And then we can start to talk about medication interventions. And so once we've put those to the side and we're addressing, the tissue atrophy, we're addressing, we also want to take the time to sort of discuss about, good hygiene, right? So always reminding patients, that we're wearing pads, we're not letting them stay for long periods of time, et cetera. And then we should talk about medications in general. There are two broad categories of medications. There are the anticholinergics and there are beta-3 agonists. Think of the anticholinergics as the medications that say the bladder don't go, and they work on the parasympathetic system. And the beta-3 agonists, they are the medications that say to the bladder, hey, relax. They end up doing the same thing. Don't go and relax ends up doing the same thing, but they're working on different receptors of the bladder. Remember I told you before that the receptors, I call them sort of like the guards, right, that are the different doors within the bladder, and they are sort of protecting and sending signals back, allowing for things to come in and out of the bladder, so that those signals can be appropriately managed between the pelvis and the brain. So the anticholinergics have been around for a really long time, and the granddaddy of them all is oxybutynin, and most people have heard of oxybutynin. It's been around for a really long time. And it does a really good job of helping relax. Don't have the urgency frequency. It decreases the incontinence episodes. But by doing that, because it's an older drug, it's not bladder specific, it can also have the same sort of effects, the slowing effects on other parts of your body. So it can cause a little bit of dry eyes, dry mouth. And then, of course, the old constipation is back because it slows the gut as well. It can cause some constipation. So while it is a good medication, it works quite well. We have really started moving away from the older anticholinergics and for more bladder-specific ones like Vesicare, Toviaz, Cinctura, et cetera. They're medications that are in the same overall drug category, but are more bladder specific, so they're not having the effects on all the other parts of the body. Be that as it may, you still can have, you can still have some symptoms of dry eyes, dry mouth, constipation with these medications. The beta-3 agonists are newer medications. They've been about the first one, it was mirabegron. It's been around for about 7, maybe 8 years now. FDA approved since then. It was trialed in Europe prior to coming, prior to being FDA approved in the U.S. At any rate, it does not, they are not associated with the dry eyes, dry mouth, constipation. We do have to watch the blood pressure just a little bit when you're on this medication. It is not contraindicated. Having hypertension is not a contraindication for using Myrbetriq, but it's something that we watch. And then the newer medication, Gemtesa, also a beta 3 agonist, also says, hey, relax to your bladder. That's also less associated with issues with increasing the blood pressure, and does a really relaxing the bladder. So those are the main categories. I don't want to go into too much detail because there are some differences between them. But, you know, that's a conversation that, you know, depending on what your comorbid conditions are, we'll choose one medication versus the other, because medications always have some interaction with other medications. So that's a, you know, a case-by-case basis.
Right. Can a person ever lose entirely the functioning of the bladder?
Yes, yes, sir. And that's really important that we are, you know, clear about that. So these are things that obviously they're annoying, but in some instances when we leave these unchecked, you have the risk of losing function of the bladder for various reasons, right? So if we're not watching to make sure that we're emptying appropriately, we run the risk of then letting the bladder expand too much, and then you end up with a neurogenic bladder, right? So in which case that now those receptors on the bladder saying, hey, sending messages back and forth, they are completely wiped out and they're not able to function at all. So that's a neurogenic bladder. Typically, a neurogenic bladder happens over a course of a long time with somebody who has incomplete emptying and is not watching or doesn't have somebody that's keeping an eye and seeing what how that's progressing. And it typically goes from, okay, I'm not emptying a little bit to now I'm not emptying, you know, a whole lot. And now the pressure in my bladder is building up and it can have reverse flow, right? We always like to think of flow should always be going downwards, right? So flow goes from the kidney down the ureters, two kidneys, two ureters, and into the bladder, and then out through the urethra. That should be the flow. But when you start to have pressure building up inside of the bladder, then that pressure can reverse, and now you pose the risk of having injury to your upper urinary tract. So we are very cognizant of that. So, you know, there are questions that we ask patients to sort of tease that out. And so that's why it's really important, because you don't always know. When, you know, you're feeling a little urgency, you feel like, oh, when I go to the restroom, I'm not completely empty. We don't always know at the beginning, especially what's going on. So it's always good to have, if you're feeling these symptoms, be evaluated. The evaluation can give us a lot of information.
Are you there? Sorry, we're plumbing over the talk. The information that you told me you would get to me, folks are still asking for. So when you get a chance, please,
so
if you can send it.
We were going to send, I didn't have your information. We're sending it
through. You can okay. Send it to shivagolang@hotmail.com.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll send it.
There you
right
go,
now.
Right? So that's easy. So you can send it to me and then I'll get it off to them.
No problem.
But we appreciate having you today again. Thank you for letting us know more about urinary urge incontinence. And what we could do. So if anybody wants more information or wants to get evaluated, there's always Doctor's Hospital they could reach out to and contact and ask for yourself and others.
Yes, of course. I mean, at Doctor's Hospital, we're building a Urogyn center. So we want to have anyone who has questions, we want physicians to send us patients, we want patients to inquire about us, and we work collaboratively with our colleagues. So yes, we are happy to see patients.
Super. Well, we look forward to talking to you again.
Excellent. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will talk about price control. The pharmacies say they're closing. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm breaking out of this cage. I'm standing up, I'ma face my demons. I'm manning up. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shavag Rolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So before I heard the news, when I determined to speak about the issue of the price control reaction of the pharmacist, I was going to start by saying this is going to be one of the shortest closures, temporary closures you've ever seen businesses do. Because the reason I said that was it all around, it's not a sustainable situation. Really, it's not. So I'm gonna build this case up from the bottom, right? So whenever you have people involved with each other, right? And that by involvement, I mean they have to interact with each other. They have to deal with each other. They have to rely on each other. That's involvement. Businesses have to have a license from the state, need the state to provide the environment for them to operate in the safety, the infrastructure, and so forth, right? So, you know, public ports and the like. So businesses need the government, and the government needs business. There's no question about it, because the government is not going to employ everybody, not going to supply all the goods and services that people need, not going to be the thing that elevates the quality of life materially and otherwise for people. So it relies on entrepreneurship to do that. So the government needs the businesses need the government, right? Because of that interdependence that they have, they have to work together. Now, we live in a free enterprise economy. By free enterprise, it means that more often than not, enterprises are free to do whatever they must to pursue their interest in the economy without government intervention. Government doesn't set their prices. Government doesn't dictate their costs. Government doesn't tell them what they can purchase and how they can purchase it and who they can purchase it from, etc. So by and large, I didn't say in totally, because sometimes some of you don't listen. By and large, we live in a free enterprise system. There are things the government tells you to do that you can't do. The government says, right now, if you wanted to get in the cellular business, the government say, no, you can't do that. If right now, if you wanted a taxi plate, another set of taxi plate, the government say, no, you can't do that. The government says, you want a radio station license, you can't do that. The government says, you say you want to own a casino license, the government say, uh-uh. So we don't all together live in a free enterprise system. The government says, if it's rice, oil, corned beef and them, you can't charge anything you want charged on them, because, and you can't raise the price without letting me know, can't have as much margin on it as you want, because the government controls that. So we don't totally live in a free enterprise system, but we largely live in a free enterprise system. Those of you who have apartments, the government don't tell you what you could charge for rent. Those of you who are law firms, the government doesn't tell you how much you could charge per hour. Those of you who are doctors, the government doesn't tell you how much you could charge per hour. Nobody in the world right now could tell you that. If you're a bank, the government doesn't tell you how much you could charge for interest rates, with the exceptions of some really high end, 25% plus something that has to do with the law. But the government don't, by and large, tell you how much you could charge in fees for your services if you're in the banking system. If you're an insurance company, the government can and don't tell you how much insurance premium you could pay. When you go buy chicken from these chicken people, the government don't tell them chicken people how much to charge you for chicken or burgers or hot dogs or corn salad or corn fritter or curry. The government don't tell you how much to charge for crab and rice. If you sell crab, the government don't tell you how much to charge for crab and crab price then gone up a lot. Government don't tell you how much to charge for conch or for grouper or for snappers or for jacks or for mutton snapper. No, the government don't tell you how much to charge for a whole heap of things in this economy. Don't tell the car dealerships how much to charge for cars or motorbikes or bicycles or jeans or tennis or movie tickets or junkanoo tickets. The government has set junkanoo ticket prices and you can't tell the government how much to charge for them. So a whole lot of goods and services you hear cuts. Government don't tell the barber man how much to charge you for barbering. Go in the hair salon, don't tell you how much that lady to charge you to put that weave in. Whole lot of stuff the government don't tell. But the government decided, wait a minute, inflation is out of control. And you got to tell the store people what to charge. What to charge on another 38 categories of items in the stores, in the food stores, and the medicines. We got to tell the people how much to charge, how much profit to make on these items. We got to price control them. So the pharmacies said, you announced this price control. That's the prime minister made a national address, laid that rule down, didn't consult, they say. The folks said when they didn't finally get in touch with them, the government said, okay, well, let us know what you suggest. They said while they were making the recommendations about what to suggest, the government came out and announced, this is going to be the case anyway. And then they send in their stuff and they hadn't heard anything for about 3-4 days from the government. And so the people say they can shut their door now. The minute I heard that, I said, okay, Okay, they're trying to apply some pressure because here's what happens. When you and somebody you're involved with have a conflict of interest, your interests no longer your interests are no longer in unison. In fact, your interests are now diametrically opposed. These businesses have a, they are not charities, they are not nonprofits, they are for-profit businesses. They have built into their business operation a certain expectation that they'll make a certain amount of profits. And if you therefore squeeze them on that profit, you have changed their business model and changed their business prospects. And so their interest is maximizing their business profitability to the extent they can. And the government's interest is keeping people as low as they can keep them, and keeping as many people happy as they can keep them. And those two things sometimes don't sync. So inflation happens and the government say, well, we got to do something, or what are we going to do? The government says we're going to put price control on more items. Now these two people who are involved with each other, government and business, their interests are no longer in sync. In fact, they are opposed to each other. Now, when your interest and somebody else's interest with whom you are involved conflict, you have a number of choices in respect of that. One, and this is the most palatable and the most desirable option, is you go and you sit down and you talk about it and see if you can arrive at a place where your interest can narrow to a mutually acceptable place. And you do that in your discussion. So that's the best way for it to happen. It don't involve no war, no violence, don't involve no drastic measures, etc. That's the best thing you can do. When that doesn't happen, each person starts to think, okay, where is my leverage? What is leverage? Leverage is that thing that I can do to cause you the most discomfort and pain you could have so that I can compel you to change and move closer to my interest. That's what leverage is. Any action I can take, or any action I can cease to take, anything that I can do that causes you discomfort. Just remember now, when you are in conflict with somebody and somebody does something, by and large, when they move next, they move into hurt you. They move into cause you pain. They move into cause you discomfort. Sometimes they may do something that they think sweetens the pot, you know, talk to you nice and may give you something and so forth. So sometimes they try to see them take an action that looks like close down, shut down, move away, run away, don't talk, them kind of thing. They trying to hurt you because they believe that doing that will cause you such discomfort that you will have to change. That's what they believe. Now, on the other side, the person says, okay, what can I do to cause them discomfort? And they think about that too. And they say, well, if I have a little bit of power over you, you scare your license from me? You just bring your stuff in through my ports? You got to pay taxes to me? And they so you have the business on the one hand says, you know what, let me close this down because mommy need her high blood pressure medication. This one need their diabetes medication. The next one need their infection medication. That one need their this medication and that medication. And the baby need the medication. And Grammy need the medication. And Daddy need his medication. And none of them can get their medication because everybody can't go to the hospital if all the pharmacies close down. So the pharmacies say, well, let's work together, close this thing down. It'll cause enough pain, I think, to cause these people to do something. And the government stiffen its neck. Minister of Economic Affairs say, well, y'all better open. I mean, there you go, something. The minute I saw the pharmacies close down, I said, listen, that ain't sustainable. It isn't. You think these people can close down for too long a period of time, no, they ain't closed down for. But if you see them closed down for too long a period of time, you have to believe that they really think that what the government is doing is adverse to their business. You have to believe that. Because business people ain't stupid. The last thing a business person wants to do is cause themselves business. They don't want to do that. Their customers is their life, and the last thing they want to do is take their customers off to the point where the customers say, well, Jesus, that's how you treat me in my time of need, and so forth. You see them take drastic measures? They feel like what you're doing to me is really hard. And they're not only doing it for the now, you know, they're doing it for the future, because they say, listen, if they could do this to you today, what you think they'll do to you tomorrow if they think it's so easy to get away with doing this to you today? The government, on the other hand, says, oh, man, I cannot appear to not be siding with the poor man and the average man who's faced with all this inflation and struck with all this inflation. I got to do something, so I got to look strong, too. Two people trying to look strong, what you think gonna happen? The mouse in the middle of them elephants is going to get crushed. They're going to get crushed. So this scenario is an unsustainable public policy scenario for all. Everybody loses in this scenario if they don't come to terms. Everybody. Let me tell you, ultimately, listen, the government is made up of politicians, and politicians need popularity to get office, to keep office. I don't say that as a negative something. That's just a reality of things. So when you see politicians seeking to do things that's popular, that makes sense because they are politicians. But everything you do to be popular, that sense for you to be popular for the public. So while in the short run, the message is I'm trying to do something for the people. If the people can't get their message, their medicine for long enough, and there's nothing more priority to a human being than self-preservation, than the preservation of life. Self-preservation is the primary aim of every man. When people can't get their medicines so that their life may be at risk, so that their limbs may be at risk, so that their health may be at risk, let me tell you what's going to happen. No, they are not going to get happy with the pharmacist and get sad with the government. No, they're not going to get sad with the government and just happy with the pharmacist and happy with the pharmacist, sad with the pharmacist and happy with the government. Know what they're going to do? They're going to be ticked off with all of them, all and them. They can be mad with the pharmacists for closing down, and they can be mad with the government for not being able to do something to cause the pharmacists to open up. And so, while they are mad and the pharmacy is closed, they can still be sick without their medicine. Everybody loses. Unless somebody can come in there and intervene, as some people suggest, oh, you get some new businesses pop up and start supplying who are not a part of the pharmacy. That ain't easy. You think it's easy getting a pharmaceutical business? You could be the most brilliant entrepreneur in the world. That is not easy. Why? First of all, you got to source your medicines. But first of all, you got to get a license from the Pharmaceutical Association Council, right? Got to get a license from the government. You got to set up your operations. You got to hire staff. You got to do all these things. Then you got to go procure your medicines. You got to get pharmacists, and there's a shortage of pharmacists and pharmacists. That's why we have so many Filipino pharmacists here, because we have to have them to bring them here to assist and support our industry. That ain't a 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week proposition. What Bahamian society with a chronic disease problem can survive 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks without most of the pharmacies open? Who? Where? I just run out of my high blood pressure medication yesterday. This morning, I mean. Right? And I take it now. I mean, my diet has helped me to reduce it enormously, but then over some period, I saw a little bit of fluctuations. I ain't taking no chances. My father suffered a massive stroke when he was 39 years old. I ain't trying to do that. So people thinking about their life, man, they think, you know, we don't want to pay higher prices, but let me tell you something. You, what person you know ain't going to pay 8, 10% more for medicine if it can help keep their life alive or their health going? You know, people ain't making them kind of decision, man. Waiting on you to open. You cannot dispense pharmaceuticals in the Bahamas without the proper certification. You cannot. You think you could just get a pharmaceutical license tomorrow? No, you cannot. You gotta arrange for a proper application to the council and all them kind of stuff. No, you cannot do that. So I knew and saw early that this was unsustainable. It was unsustainable for the businesses. It was unsustainable. There has to and have to and had to be a compromise in this situation. Now, whether they arrive at one yet, I don't know. But this whole price control affair, it's something. Here's something. This text says, Shivago, I'm retired. I personally don't feel that government should dictate profit margins without first communicating with distributors and retailers. Example, you might own your own building while I'm paying rent. This could have been handled better. I passed Lowe's Pharmacy on Soldier Road half hour ago and they seem to be open. Yeah, they ain't sustainable. People can open. See, I keep hearing everybody toss around this word consultation, right? Like the pharmacist says they weren't consulted with. The government, you know, says we're looking at consultants. See, I mean, let's be sure we know what we're talking about now. So it's the pharmacist saying, if the government had come to them before the prime minister announced it and say, you know what, people are complaining about the high price of medicines, inflation is through. We want to clamp down on this so that we can keep prices lower. So we can cut and to not be able to raise prices unless you ask us. That the pharmacists were going to say, okay, well, at least you consulted with us. Go right ahead and do what you're doing. It's a ball, right? Yeah. Do you really think that the pharmacists are really doing what they're doing because they weren't consulted? Let me ask you a question. If the government asks the pharmacies to reduce all their medicines by one cent, do you think the pharmacists would have been out there protesting? No, I don't think so. This isn't about consultation in and of itself. This is about the impact of your policy measure on my business's operations, i.e. its profitability. That's what this is about. This is about you are impacting the profitability of my business in a free enterprise society. And hate profits if you want. The government cannot hate profits because it's profits that creates the incentive for business. And when business come, jobs come, when job and income comes, people get to pay their bills and pursue their aspirations in ways that the government cannot fund. When businesses come, businesses pay government taxes. Businesses pay more taxes to the government of the Bahamas through custom duties and the like than we on average as citizens, private individuals pay. Okay? And so this isn't about consultation. This is about the impact of your policy. You know how many things the government of the Bahamas does in this country that don't impact businesses, that impact businesses, but only on the margins and you don't hear nobody closing down protesting? Right? Did they close down when the PPL bill was raised? No. Didn't close down there. And that was a significant increase. They didn't do it. Did they protest? With minimum wage? You say, but they consulted. Man, let me tell you something. You think if they had consulted with the people on minimum wage and raised minimum wage by another $100 a week, that them people would have been sitting down, quiet, saying, that's okay, hallelujah, thank you? No. It's not only about consultation. It's about the impact that they are feeling from what the policy proposes. So we have to make sure when we talk about consultation that we're talking about what people are saying is, listen, bro, whatever you do, the reason why I want you to consult with me, that don't hurt me so much that I don't like to be in the position that I am going to be in when I do what you're asking me to do. That's what they're talking about. It's not just to sit down. I need you to don't do something that I believe is far too injurious for my business to survive or to for me to be as profitable as I want. That's what this is about. And for the government, what it's about, I can tell you all on the other side of the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns like 25 Fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through this echo of the warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
And gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are now talking about the price control issue in the pharmacy. I suspect that this one really might be over. I'm talking about it, but I suspect this one might be over because, as I said, I just don't see this as sustainable. For the gut showing that you are making an effort to ease the burden of the public in the face of rising prices. And the government is not going to relent on that. That's the, for the government, there's not a whole lot to be done right now. And so letting go of that is not going to happen. So maybe a little bit of give here, a little bit of give there, fine, but that's not going to really happen. You know what is, to me, a bit challenging about all of this? In terms of the cost you're going to pay, that in terms of rising cost, this is not going to solve that. This is not going to fix that. That this will not fix that. Let me tell you why. You will face higher costs no matter what. You will not face lower cost in the face of this. Let me tell you why. So let me tell you how price control works. So let's say the pharmacist is charging you $10 now on some medication. And let's say that that pharmacist pays $5 for that medication. Now, before you say, oh, they double the price, just remember that's $5 is their first cost. That's their cost of goods. That's what they pay away in the United States, wherever they pay for it, right? That's their first cost. That's $5. They haven't added on to that their cost for electricity. They haven't added their cost of labor. They haven't added their administrative costs. They haven't added their depreciations, all these kinds of things that go into operating a business so that at the end of the day, when they're finished paying out all their costs, they may have an $8 cost and therefore make a $2 profit. Okay, so $2 profit. They don't make $5 profit, they make a $2 profit. But their first cost, this is important for you to remember, their first cost, the cost they pay to their supplier abroad is $5. Now, inflation is, so let's just say that the inflation increases their first cost by 50 cents to $5.50. That's the inflation. So the man who they buy it from, right, charges them 50 cents more. Guess what? Does that mean you won't be charged 50 cents more? No, that doesn't mean that at all. Because what the government will do with price control is say, okay, prove to me that the man charged you 50 cents more. And once they show the invoice for that, and the government may decide they want to check with them and say, okay, does this really happen? That's fine. Once they do that, the government is going to give them that 50 cents more. So now you're going to be paying $10.50 more. So you're going to get charged that extra 50 cents because that inflation was abroad. The government doesn't save you through price control from that. What the government saves you from is maybe that's a medication that the man was charging 30% profit on, which I don't see. That's too high, but I can't say it wasn't. Oh, you could only charge 20% profit. Unless that squeeze in the man's profit is going to be less than, it doesn't even matter what it can be less than. The only thing that it means is that on top of the 50 cents, the government is saying you would pay a little less for that man's profit. That's what the government is hoping to do is squeeze the man on his profit side of things, not on the inflation side of things. That doesn't happen. So you are still going to pay a higher price for the item. The item isn't going to go down and is not going to stay the same if inflation continues. You will only not absorb the cost of higher profits on that item if it's price controlled. It'll still be a profit, but it won't be that the same profit. Now, here's why the pharmacists don't like that, because you might say, but they're still making a profit. Here's why the pharmacists don't like that. You're a business.
you don't run the same profit on every item, because some items, the price, in order to make your 30% profit, you'd have to carry the price up to a place where people will not buy it because it's not that kind of item. So you have items on which you make 2%, 3%, and so forth. And those are what you can, you even have items that you make no profits on. You call them loss leaders. You call them loss leaders, right? And sometimes they use loss leaders to pull you in, or they use loss leaders to say, well, I provide store, and then they can look at other items. So if all told, the items that they sell at low margins remain at low margins, but they could make the profits on the higher margin items, they will carry the cost of that lower margin item and be okay. But now if you squeeze their high margin products so that you reduce the profitability on them, they now have less profit on their high margin profit while they're carrying low profit margin items. And that is what they use to pay their operating expenses, what they rely on to pay their operating expenses and then make the profit margin that they want for themselves, the net profit. Not the gross profit, not the operating profit, but the net profit. So when you squeeze their profitability, you are reducing the return to the investor who is taking a risk being in this business. They got to be mindful of security risk. They got to be mindful of inflation risk. They got to be mindful of supply risk. They got to be mindful of political risk and all these things. And so they want to incorporate that in the returns that they get from the business. And now you're squeezing that, and they're saying, you know, you don't know my business operations. You don't know my balance sheet. You don't know my P&L. You don't know my cash flow statements. And you are diving in here telling me what to do like you have had a look at my books and know what I'm doing. Like you know my business model and can tell me how to run my business. Since when? I don't tell you how to run the government. Yeah, they do sometimes, but they can't force you to do it. So the fact of the matter is that for me, the challenge is this policy measure doesn't necessarily keep and wants to keep you from, which is inflation. Not in any meaningful way, right? But it does give the impression, and it is an indication the government is trying to help. Can't fault the government for trying to help. But every help doesn't produce all the best set of circumstances, and sometimes you got to wonder, okay, on balance, are we doing more good than ill? A judgment to be made by those who can evaluate the policy's impact and results, and by you, the public, who are going to experience those results. I think that the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce makes a good point. You know, this margin squeeze for pharmacists and grocers is taking place at the same time as the government has raised BPL's rate, surcharge, and rate, same time as it has increased minimum wage. So they got that double whammy. So you get a on a margin decrease, which means less profitability for any business. Who would be happy with that? Not nobody I know in business. Who would be happy with that? People who think that something good is coming for them on the price side of life, yeah. But not too many businesses would be happy with that. Now, closing your business down, you know, I looked at it and I saw it was only flexing. I didn't think it would last no more than 3 days. That is sustainable. That's why, like, when you do things, right? Sometimes when you, like, I'm not saying that the the pharmacists were petulant, because I do think they have a legitimate case. They do have a legitimate case. But when you do react to things, you gotta ask yourself. I'm sure maybe they did. Like, is this sustainable? Right? Really? Like, how long can we go closing our stores? So you have to be calculating. Boy, the pain point is gonna change. I think they were right. And I also think they were right on that, but I also think they also know this ain't sustainable. And so when the government ordered them back in, listen, when Michael Aquinas and them ordered them back in, Michael Aquinas them bailed them out, I believe. I think the minister bailed them out, gave them, but like, we got to go back because the government sent us back. We ain't going back because we couldn't do it, sustain it. We going back because the government sent us back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after that break.
Not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. Use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361. 302 said the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Mr. Campbell, we have your test results. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Good news. No, wait, bad news. Give it to me straight, doctor.
Your blood work came back. You've got erythrocytes all over.
Oh, no, this can't be happening.
Here's the good news. That just means red blood cells. It's a good thing. You're completely fine.
With 99% of medical claims paid in 5 days, we're like a doctor who doesn't want to be a comedian. CG Atlantic, medical in life. Good like that.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
And gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, where we were talking about price control and pharmacies. You know, somebody rightly pointed out to me that pharmacists, I don't think, ever intended to be, to think that they were going to be out there for a long period of time closed. And what have you, but certainly they needed to get the government's attention and to make sure the government was respecting them in the process. And I could see that. But I think the government realized what the pain point was on this one and bailed them out. I really do. I think if the government had waited in the landlord, pharmacists would probably been back open. But, you know, let me tell you something, bro. Is the objective of an effort, you're dealing with a fickle matter because people are fickle, right? People are fickle. They'll be with you 1 minute with an issue, but the minute that issue turns on their pain and no pain they feel more than sickness or the prospect of dying or what have you, and then their money, boy, once that happens, things start to change in the way people perceive an issue. And all around on this one, the pain points, I think, were really right in your face kind of way. And so I think the pharmacists had to realize how challenging their circumstances were. The government had to realize how challenging their circumstances were. And, you know, I think caving on both sides was inevitable. Now, the thing about this, right, really, honestly, this is a great study in public policy. This is a fantastic case study in public policy. There are so many questions about public policy, strategy, design, execution that arise out of this particular matter that I could see schools of public policy, schools of public administration discussing this for months and years to come, because it is a classic case study in public policy. See, your objectives, once clear, need a strategy that fits. And by fit, I mean a strategy that acknowledges all the consequences and unintended consequences of a policy action. The government sits down and says, I'm going to do this. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Chances are they're going to react this way, they're going to react this way, they're going to react this way. But I'm prepared to soak that up. Then that's life. You got a public policy consideration that's thorough and comprehensive, you're good. What you don't want is a public policy measure that hasn't, one, been rooted in as realistic and significant a consultation as you can have, so that you can anticipate some of the feedback by virtue of having had the consultation to begin with, and make you now have to go back to say, well, I wasn't trying to do that, but now what? You don't want to do that either, right? And you're not going to be able to anticipate everything. So nobody fool you. You can't anticipate everything. You cannot anticipate every human reaction. But you try to do it as comprehensively as possible. But what you don't want to do, in public policy, is you don't want short-termism to win out over long-termism. And you don't want to let small gains in the short run be what you sacrifice for when you could get bigger gains in the long run. Now, the problem with what I just said is it's an idea that's rooted in a level of principledness that is far ahead of pragmaticness. And you're a pragmatic politician, man. You try to get that win. You try to get that gain. You try to get that favorability. You try to get that popularity as quickly as you can and as much as you can. And we'll deal with the long run when the long run comes. Because as they say, in the long run, we're all dead. But what happens is the accumulation of dysfunctions, the accumulation of those distractions, the accumulation of those diseases, they manifest in the long run to a point where you sit around, you don't know what the heck to do about them no more, because they're just unresolvable. Classic case study in public policy, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this one for a very, very, very long time. Of course, I mean, we'll be talking about it, some of us, but the public can move on for this in short order. And then it'll be the next thing we'll be talking about. Anyways, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust you have a great evening. God bless you, and he spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.